So, equanimity. These four practices that are kind of offered as a group are intended to really create a balance of relationship to life. And it can be important to see the ways in which, on one hand, they're distinct from the sort of pure mindfulness process and practice, but in another way that they're very similar, that the process and practice of doing them, of inclining the mind toward loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and then equanimity, requires and creates a process of cultivation of purification of our understanding of all of them, and the energy and wisdom behind really experiencing them truthfully. So the when we come to the equanimity practice, it can sometimes be a little bit of feel like a 180 degree turn. We've cultivated over the days, right, and over the sort of three previous practices of the, you know, just that pure understanding experience of kindness toward ourselves, toward other beings, toward experience. And then sort of directing that energy toward pain, right? The pain in other people's lives, the pain in our lives, the hardship of life, right? That good feeling of kindness toward hardship. And then that good feeling of kindness toward joy, right? Toward the abundance that might be in people's lives, might be in our lives. So there's this cultivation of just like connection and kindness and love, and you'll look at the traditional phrases, you know, some of which Greg mentioned in the talk last night, of, you know, going through that sort of may you be safe, may you be happy, may you be healthy, all of those things, and may you be free from suffering, and may your abundance continue, may you be joyful. And then the fourth, the equanimity practice, is a deep resting and connection with the limitations of the impact of our love, right? That there's no limit to the degree we can love and feel kindness and all those other wholesome actions, and the degree to which we can experience those is incredible, right? That it actually, we have the capacity to have limitless love, but we can't control life through love. We can't control our life through love. We can't control other people's lives through love. And that process of acceptance of the truth of things as they are can be challenging and also is the doorway to the peace that is talked about, you know, in this tradition. So those phrases, may you be safe, and then there's the final one, the traditional, is something to the effect of you are the owner of your, if you're doing it to like your puppy or something, right, all this love, and then it's like you are the owner of your actions. You know, your your happiness and sorrow are not created by my wishes for you, right? So your puppy it's an intense example, and we all have intense examples in our lives, right, of people maybe who for example, you know, no matter how much we care for them, try to support them, we'll still make sometimes decisions that are harmful to them, you know, or to others. or that we do that for ourselves. We're building this relationship of love and kindness, and yet at the same time, we know that we make decisions that are sometimes create more harm, you know, for ourselves or others. And so the piece of understanding that things are as they are, right, is a powerful practice that we can do, right? That we can, the deepest equanimity comes through profound understanding of the nature of things. But just as in the metta practice, where we can incline the mind, we can invite an experience of kindness toward anything. We can invite, we can incline a mind of equanimity toward anything. And just in that same way, we're not going to force ourselves to be okay with everything that's happening. You can't. That's not real equanimity. You can see the sort of push there, you know, against reality, against the reality of our own resistance, perhaps, to what's happening. But there's that possibility of accepting the truth of things as they are. Doesn't mean condoning it. It doesn't mean that when we accept the truth of some sorrow, of some difficulty, of the reality of things as they are, that we don't feel that there is then also something to be done to help work towards more kindness, more happiness, more equality in a situation. But that we do that from a place of connection to reality. Right, that we truly, deeply accept reality. This is what's happening. This is true. As a starting place. It's quite different than this is happening, it's horrible, and makes me so angry that I'm going to do something about it. Right? Like, it's a very different relationship to the world, to ourselves, to one another that we cultivate in that. So it's a practice, just as anything, and we have to be careful about where we start, right? So just as in the metta practice and the others, the invitation is always to start with what's easiest, you know? Find a connection with something that's easy to feel kind about. Find a connection with something that's easy to feel okay about. One time, I was talking to a yogi who has decided that she wanted to start doing equanimity practice, and so I was like, well, okay, how are you doing it? How's it going? She's like, well, I think of a situation in my mind that's awful. And I just say, that is not okay. I was like, that's awesome. And I don't know where that's going to get you exactly, you know, in terms of the thing. Because it's like, whew, you know, even trying to... And she's like, well, I started doing the, like, things are as they are, and this is okay. And it's just, it felt, there was no juice to it. You know, it just wasn't, there didn't feel like there's anything going on. And equanimity is like that, right? Like, equanimity doesn't have the intensity of, like, when you're feeling so much, if it happens, you know, you feel that kind of kindness gush can happen, you know, or that loving kindness or compassion. Equanimity is cool. Right, it has this like it's the other side of things. It's that deep, cool reservoir of understanding. And sometimes having faith in that is hard. You know, it might not feel intense enough, but just trusting that it has a very different flavor, you know, than some of the other practices at time. I mean, metta can have a very different flavor. Metta doesn't have to be that glowing thing either. You know, it can be very subtle and very calm, just as a basic. So, we'll go through one style of practice here, and you know, just if it feels right, if it sort of can, if you connect with it, great. If it feels like not what you want to be doing, you can go back to metta. You can just do your mindfulness practice. You know, take it as an exploration in relationship to, you know, the rest of the practice that you've been doing here. Yeah. So, yeah, coming into your posture that feels comfortable for a little while. And I just want to invite you to, with your eyes closed, just imagining, taking in the presence of the person in front of you. If there's no one in front of you, it can be the person behind you. And you may or may not know much about this person at all. But even given your own experience during this retreat, you know and trust that this person has in their life experienced the full range of joy and sorrow. You can tune in to any place of caring. It might be quite subtle that arises in the heart as you tune into the fact of that for this person. Their happiness and joy. Their sorrow and grief. Receiving the goodness of that kindness, how it feels in your own heart and mind, perhaps in your body. And then you may consider that despite your kindness and caring, that their life is their own. Largely out of your control. And connecting with any place of just acceptance around that. Sometimes a phrase such as, things are as they are. Can arise in the mind. And to whatever degree, just abiding in the acceptance of the truth of this person's life. Perhaps moving to the impression in your heart of the person to your left. if there's no one there in front or behind. Again, connecting with the truth of the joy and sorrow you know is in their life. Attuning to any resonant sense of caring for that. And then accepting the person's life as their own, out of your control. Things are as they are. An honoring of reality. Moving to the person behind or in front of you. Caring for their hardship and joy. Accepting their responsibility for their life. And the many conditions outside your control that affect them. Things are as they are. And to the person on your right, kindness to strengthen the heart, and acceptance of their life as their own. Outside of our care. Things are as they are. We can come into relationship with our own physical experience. knowing these bodies have experienced the full range of joy and sorrowful sensations. Our deep caring for the health and strength of these bodies. And the gentle and pure acceptance of the way they are. The reality of what's happening in the body right now. Things are as they are. Noticing the experience of the mind. Our deep longing and aspirations for its peace and happiness. Caring for the places that it's wounded. Loving the places that it is already liberated. And then seeing beyond our preferences and hopes. We accept the mind as it is. The reality of it. Not struggling with. Accepting the truth of it. The mind is as it is right now. Sounds, sights, smells and tastes. Not needing to investigate, but just accept them as true, as happening, as real. And just continuing either with your own six senses, accepting accepting them as they are. Or including more people around you in this room. Other people in your life, or just the world around us. Wherever we can find that connection, acceptance of reality, abiding in that peace. Things are as they are. So that's just, you know, a little taste of that, and just to offer that it can be integrated into our practice in a, you know, kind of similar way that the metta can, you know, that if you're doing your mindfulness practice and you'll see where it fits, you know, but you know that you kind of get a sense of when it's helpful to bring in like a little bit of kindness, you know, because things are hard. Sometimes if we're just like really caught up in stuff or things feel really crazy, you know, just that kind of stepping back and just things are as they are as a gentle reminder can be helpful. Sometimes it's just actually can be the kind of key to helping us drop in. And being careful of that place where we're trying to convince ourselves that we're okay with reality, where we're not, you know, it's okay. That's true too, you know, at that moment. So just sometimes if it starts to have a kind of depressive feel, you know, things are as they are, and that's like a drag, you know, that, careful, you know, that's not equanimity. It slides in another direction, so.
Yeah.